Matt, episode 63. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not because I've not been very well. You've got headphones on, a mission coat, everything looks different. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I'm disappointed you've said it's episode 63 because I've called this pod episode 62. So we're going to have to rename that one for starters. Headphones are on because I'm now using the computer and I don't have any speakers, so I have to use headphones. And I'm using not my Rode mic at the moment, I'm using the clip-on mic. So I'm hands-free today. And I've got the coat on because I've just got in. I couldn't be able to take it off, and the radiator ain't kicked in down at the office yet. So that's it. But I have got the blue light on. So,
You've got the blue light on. So
bit about me.
welcome, welcome. And honestly, this is going to be the most stacked podcast ever. So if you're a regular, you're in for a treat today. Matt and I are going to talk darts non-stop. There is so much to talk about. And I want you to kick it
Potentially.
off. I want you to kick it off, Matt. I want you to kick it off and tell the world what's going on with Beau Greaves. Breaking news.
Yeah, I've literally just made a video on this, so it should be quite fresh in my mind. So Beau Greaves has today accepted the invitation to go to Alexandra Palace, meaning she's not going to go back and attempt to become a four-time Women's World Champion. We said this, if you go back through the podcasts, I said the second she signed with Target, there was no way that Beau Greaves was going to Lakeside. You don't sign a big manufacturer deal, and I know what that deal entails. I know the money that's been invested in Beau Greaves from the manufacturer. It's a lot. And well deserved. But with that in mind, you have to go to Alexandra Palace. You need to be in the big broadcasted event. There's no other option. You can't go, oh, well, we're going to back you and you're going to go to Lakeside. That's done. Does winning another Lakeside add to her legacy? No. Does having a run at Alexandra Palace do so? Yes. On the back of that as well, she's accepted a tour card. So this is Beau Greaves now going to Alexandra Palace for probably the rest of her darting life, unless something really badly goes wrong for her. So Beau Greaves going to Ali Pali, getting a tour card. How far does she go? Now, I've ran stats on this. I've looked through where she needs to be. I've looked at top 64, the 1 year order of merit, the Pro Tour this year, the players' championships in regards to results and averages, the top 64 over a 2 year system. She needs to be averaging between 91 and 91 and a half to make the top 64. At the moment, she doesn't. She's averaging 90.33 over a 12-month period, which statistically makes her the world number 87.
Is that including ladies' darts or is that just
Everything.
playing with? Yeah,
Everything.
so that might be dragging it down,
She's better than
which,
that.
yeah.
We know she's better than that. We know she's better than that for a couple of reasons. Number one, like you say, ladies' darts, bringing it down. Your average someone averaging 40. One, you're psychologically not as engaged. And two, it's all about you. So Beau Greaves' winning percentage this year is 85%. Now that means that average is a very, very true reflection of every dart she throws. Now, there are players on the tour averaging 91, 92, who aren't averaging 91, 92. They're inflated because they're losing 6-0, 6-1 to Luke Humphries, Luke Littler, or Seed to blow them off the board very quickly. They don't have opportunities to miss the doubles. It's not a completion average. So that average isn't as a reflection as much as Beau Greaves is. So Beau will find those points on her average. To get to the top 32, she's going to have to find 3 or 4 points. I think she does. She's shown she can compete. The three best players in the world right now, Luke Littler, Luke Humphries, Josh Rock. She's played all three of those in this year. Luke Humphries lost 10-7 at the UK Open on the main stage. Great game. Josh Rock beat him on the Pro Tour, averaged 102. Luke Littler beat him semi-final of the World Youth Championship, a topic we're going to get to in a bit. Keep that in mind. Semi-final, beat him. So Beau Greaves can compete with the very, very best in the world in 2025. So I think she steps it up. And I think not this year, as in 26, but I think in 2027, she's in the world match play and the Grand Prix. But she won't make it in 26. I think it's too big of an ask.
I have to agree. A quick question that I'm sure a lot of the viewers are thinking along the lines of, she'll obviously be in the Grand Slam this year, and she'll obviously be in the World Championship this year. Those won't count towards her ranking for next year, will they?
Yes, wrongly.
So is she on a 1 year card
She's
then?
got 2 years. No, so Right. They don't count to her cards this year unless she reaches the top 64. So, yes, you're right. I've got misread the question in a way. I'm getting ahead of myself. So I'm right and I'm wrong. I've just answered it in the wrong order. So absolutely, unless she reaches the top 64, this year's Slam and this year's World Championship comes off. However, next year, she will also qualify for the events by the Women's Series, Order of Merit, and that will count.
Ooh,
and it'll count the year right. after. Now, that means Beau Greaves, before a dart has been thrown in tour card status, will be 40 grand ahead. That is, and at the moment, it costs 80 grand to keep your card. So she got 50% of it due to Women's Series success.
Ooh,
there's your debate.
Yeah, there's a biggie. There's a biggie. I think that's a big debate for another podcast because I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of that. That's giving a head start. And in any sport, when you've already got a bit of a head start, you're hitting the ground running. You're playing freer. You know, the next guy's turning up with zero. He's under pressure. He needs to get over that zero. She's turning up. She knows she's already on 40 grand. Well, yeah, it's an interesting one.
Right? I go to Q School this year. And if I go to Q School and win a tour card, I go on the tour, like Beau Greaves does, on zero on January. But she will be in the Slam and the World Championships off of that Women's Series Order of Merit, which already she's quite high up on, or from the Women's Match Play. So because of that, then she's 40 grand ahead of keeping her card in 2 years' time. 40 grand, that's half the money covered already. That's a big chunk. That's a big chunk. And then not only that, but then has the same access. So here's my state.
Well, not only that, if she has a bit of a run in either of those tournaments.
Yeah, this is about winning a game.
Yeah.
But I do have an opinion on this. Should Beau Greaves then not be allowed to play Women's Series darts? No. The Women's Series is where it is because of talents like Beau Greaves. So absolutely not. We shouldn't be banning Beau Greaves or any lady that's got the tour card from playing Women's Series events. Should she not be able to reap the rewards of the Women's Series? Absolutely, she should be able to reap the rewards of the Women's Series because she's investing her time and her efforts and her skills to earn those opportunities. Should she then be crossing over those opportunities and those skills to the tour card system, to the world rankings? No. Now, this is where it happens. So you say, Beau Greaves, you have earned your spot at the World Championship. Absolutely, you can take that off the Women's Series. You've earned your spot at the Grand Slam. Absolutely, you can take that from the Women's Series. You get the money. You've earned that. You do not get the ranking. Now, this is where I think all the tour card holders welcome that. Anybody who gets a place in the World Championship or a big event off the back of a system that everybody doesn't have access to, if all 128 tour cards can't play it, you don't get the prize money. That goes for Dev Tour. That goes for everything. Everybody should be on that blanket. This happened to Glenn Durrant. This is not new. I'm not rewriting the wheel. When Glenn Durrant joined the PDC from the BDO as the BDO world champion, they said you can play in the Grand Slam, but you don't get the prize money. I think he reached the semi-final and he did not get paid the prize money. He got the money in his bank. He didn't get it on his rankings. Why is that different for a development tour player, a women's series, the Canadian qualifier, the South African qualifier, whatever other qualifier, the Super League, the European Super League, whatever you get in, if all tour card holders haven't got access to it, it should not count.
100% agree with you, Matt. 100%. I think we've talked about this before. I've been in agreement with you since the start. I think it's wrong. I think in the past when the Grand Slam was none, when the money didn't count towards your ranking because of BDO players in it and et cetera, et cetera, it was fairer. It's a mess. It's a mess that we're going to talk about and maybe there'll be developments. But let's move on from Bo and let's talk about the Grand Prix because by God, are there some talking points. Now, thankfully, we don't have to jump in the sea because he didn't win the World Series, but Mr. Lutler pops up again, should have got beat. Ends up getting through and, of course, wins the final in pretty impressive form. But it's not actually him I want to talk about. It's not him I want to talk about because we can talk about him every week. First thing I want to talk about, I've got a question from Sean Eccles, who said that he'd love to hear us discuss. Gerwyn Price was getting loads of stick from commentary for starting on double 13. Now, he was going double 13 and then going to the 20s. So potentially his maximum score was 146. other players were starting on 32 and going 57, 57, which again gives you 146. Yet nobody mentioned them. It was all about Gerwyn Price. Why is he starting on double 13? He's losing points on the rest of the field.
What was the other one?
No, he's 32. If you go 32, 57, 57, it's the same as going 26, 60, 60. Exactly the same. So why was he getting stick about it? And this question's come from Sean Eccles. He wants to know why they singled out Gerwyn Price. You got any problem with starting on double 13? Mensah used to start on double 14, didn't he?
It's interesting. Really is interesting. I think what makes it interesting is the fact that commentators, especially John Part was glorified. I mean, I'm not saying John Part said this is an issue. It's hard because the problem you've got as well, this is the other problem. When you discuss things that are said on commentary, it's blanketed. The commentators said that. Well, actually, did this person say it? Did they stay true to their philosophy? Or are you blanketing them under commentators? The same as, do you know when like something goes wrong? They need to do something about that. Who's they? Who are they? That happens a lot with commentary. So it'll be interesting to know which individuals had a problem with it and if that fit in their philosophy. Because John Part speaks very, very fondly of people who start on double 16 using treble 19 as their next shot. Yep. Because it's a smaller switch. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see who said that, because I reckon there'd probably be even some internal debate where some agree, some don't. Now, I don't know the maths. I haven't broke it down, but there are certain times where the maths come into play. Does 146 affect that? It certainly affects it for the possible nine dart leg. Does it affect it for other things? So, for example, if you hit a five as part of your shot, that means you either need two trebles and a two treble combination. You've eliminated the possibility of going for the bullseye for like the two treble combo for like the 161 or the 121 where it's a one treble combo. But that one dart in the five means you need an extra visit or you need two visits with two trebles.
And we talked about that before, Matt. And you know I'm a big fan of the maths, just like you are. And I've sat down and worked it out. And if he hits 146, which is his maximum score, and then he hits 180, that's 326, leaves him 175. He can easily do that in four darts. So there is no issue. The only thing it stops you doing is hitting a nine darter, but so does every other double apart from tops or double 17, weirdly enough.
What about the other splits, though? So that's the perfection. But what about the 46? Yeah. That's going to leave 355. 140, 140 would be 315, 175. So two 140s don't get you out if you don't get a treble with your opening shot.
I think we could talk about it all day and people will get bored of listening to us.
But then again, that doesn't the 32 does because you're 139. So it means you need five trebles out of six to get down rather than four. So there is that. But
then again, if he's looked at it and gone, well, I hit that 70% of the time and I own it every other double 50% of the time, then he's made the right choice.
Yeah, it's one of them where, I mean, on the fly, coming up with the answer, I'm probably not the right guy. But if I had some time to work it out, I'd probably have to work out the pros and the cons. I mean, because the other thing
Kirk would know.
It's Owen Binks. Owen Binks is best for that. His numbers are incredible.
So I've kind of defended Gerwyn a little bit there, but I'm not going to defend him for this next bit. And I really want you to talk about this. This is Gerwyn Price stating when somebody said about his weight loss and everything else. And he basically said, you can't eat well as a professional dart player. He said, you can't do it. He said, we finish at 10 o'clock at night. The only places open at that time are fast food restaurants. Therefore, I don't eat. So I go to bed, I haven't eaten, and I'm losing weight because I'm not eating in the evening. And I thought, that's the most ridiculous statement, and I like the guy, that he's ever made. Why can't he get something that's in his hotel room to have when he gets back? The fact that he's saying the only food I can get is fast food at 10 o'clock, well, there's no reason why you couldn't have got some healthy food at 5 o'clock. or you couldn't have brought some healthy food with you, or you couldn't have asked the hotel to make you some healthy food. It's the easiest cop-out, and I really don't like it, because that what that says to people is, if you're a pro dart player, you're going to eat fast food all the time. And I don't like that. I think the sport should be going in a different direction. So I'm not a fan of that comment.
I get it, though. I do. And, you know, in an idealistic world, there's lots of options and solutions, but it's not always the most idealistic world. Let's say, for example, a lot of the European tours, a lot of the times, they're not set in areas of high population. So a lot of the time, like Risa, for example, the players' hotels in the middle of nothing. Rosmalen, they've got European tours and pro tours there. In Rosmalen, you have a hotel, a adult entertainment center, shall we say, over the road from the hotel. You've now got a petrol garage and a Chinese restaurant. That's but the only got, things
they've
within
all got
miles
families.
Radius.
They've all got managers. They could send them out and say, bring me back this, and I'll have it when I get back.
But
I know you're sticking up for me. As a former pro, I can feel you wanting to stick up for him because it's too easy. To
okay, but how many of those food. People went to, you know, if you was going to Rosmalen now, who would you take with you for the Pro Tour?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't take anybody.
You'd go on your own?
Yeah, yeah. But a lot,
like Gerwin does. He goes on his own.
Does he?
Gerwin Price. Yeah, travels on. Sometimes Bethan will go, but a lot of the time Gerwin Price is on his own.
Yeah.
Because
I just think it's an easy cop-out. It's the same cop-out, Matt, as when you say to them, look, you really need to be getting down the gym. And they go, oh, no, I've got to be at the Pro Tour at 9 o'clock. I can't do it.
One
well,
of those
well
where...
you found a way. Get down there at 7.
You know, I've lived it. I see it regularly now. So I can see what he's talking about. Now, sometimes there is a way around it. So, like, sometimes, like you say, there's a fridge in your hotel room. So, you know, yes, you could get something, leave it in the fridge. Not all hotel rooms have fridges. Not all of them have cooking facilities. Some of them do, some of them don't. You've got Airbnb, which sometimes are in the area, sometimes are not. A lot of the players will prefer to stay in an Airbnb because you've got your own cooking facilities, you've got your own fridge, freezers, things like that. There's no excuse there. But that's not always an option. Some of these places are booked in the most remote locations where you don't have these sort of options, or they're booked in leisure areas. You know, you're thinking arena. In an arena, they do burgers, chips, pies. Sort of, you know. Then you get out of there, and because it's in an arena setting, the only things around, McDonald's, KFCs, things like that, that are in the area. So, yeah, where darts is going at the moment, because I see it. I see what he's talking about. Now, it's not. I'm not saying this is 100% all the time, but I would say it's probably a 50-50 split where it is completely unavoidable. Okay. There is no other option, because you're not going to leave a sandwich on your side in the summer with no fridge until you get home at 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, no one wants to get in and eat like an old prawn sandwich, tuna sandwich. Oh, lovely. Yeah, I left that out all day. Fantastic. It's only been 35 degrees. So and you
I
don't. So, yeah.
I get it. I've been there myself. I just think these days there are ways. And I just thought it was just a bit of a blanket statement that I thought, oh, that's the wrong thing to say. He's a fit guy. I want him to be coming out and going, look, you don't have to have a kebab after. There is a different way. That's what I wanted him to say, and he didn't. So, but with that in mind,
you've hit the nail on the head for me there. He's a fit guy who goes to the gym, who his whole life has been dedicated to health and fitness and body composition. And he's saying this is the problem. So surely he should be the person to listen to. And right now, shouldn't the PDPA be going to him and going, how can we help you? You are clearly the guy who should have the answer to this, and you don't.
Yeah.
What do we need to make sure that this is not a problem for everybody else? Because if you care about this and you can't get it right, what about the other guys who don't give a damn?
Yes, that's the problem, isn't it? Yeah, they're just going to, it's just too easy for them. Right, staying on the Grand Prix and staying on controversial statements, because Johnny Clayton's come out and said all the Pro Tours should be in the UK only. All this travelling is no good. The Pro Tours, the Players' Championships should be in the UK only. And I was like, really?
Okay.
Really, you've said that?
Right. So I actually shared a taxi with Johnny Clayton not long after this.
Wow.
So I was in a taxi with Johnny Clayton for about 45 minutes. And we spoke about exactly this. And I said to him, I said, I agree with you 100% until I understood it. And that's when it changed. And I tried to tell Johnny Clayton the reasons as to why. And he understood it. And I think he'd maybe give a different answer now if he was asked that same question. So with this in mind, we was told when darts first started going. So you remember, you was around, wasn't you, when darts wasn't just in the UK? We used to go do pro tour in Australia, a pro tour in Canada, a pro tour in Germany, in Holland. And it wasn't all UK based. And then when the European tour came in, it all became UK based. Now, this is when things. So when they started putting an event on, like in Niedenhausen or in Hildesheim, they said, these events have been put into place to grow the game. And that's where it lies. Because people like myself, Johnny Clayton, who was around in that day, was told in a meeting at the City West in Dublin by the big head honchos who used to pull all the players together once a year for a meeting. And they came in and says, this is to grow and globalize the game. And then words stick. And the reason they, and the problem is, for people like Johnny Clayton, he heard that and he goes, well, how is this growing the game, going to Germany for 10 pro tours, to stand behind closed doors where no one can get in and watch what's going on anyway? How does that grow the game?
It doesn't. That is no point.
And that is where that problem comes. However, flip it. This is where the Matt the Player gets put aside. And Matt the... I don't even know what to call it, but like the more educated, oh, lovely, let it go. The more educated sort of the other side of the fence now. I'm hearing the other side, and I've got to speak for that side now rather than just that player demand. And on this side of the fence, you think about it from an analytical and a progression studies. The rules changed Q School about 2018. Until then, what happened is top 32 got the card. Next one was number one reserve. Next one was number two reserve, number three reserve, and so on. It changed to the challenge tour. So the challenge tour now top up the thing. So if we get to Friday night, Pro Tour's playing on Saturday. It's Friday night. Michael van Gerwen's pulled out. Is Jimmy Van Ski getting to Barnsley for 12 o'clock start the next day?
No,
not a chance. Right. So what happens is they've got to go through it and go, right, these seven players don't live in the UK. They're never going to make it. He lives in Canada. He lives in Africa. He's not going to make it. This player lives in London. Is he going to be able to drive up in time? So what you end up doing is you end up with like Carl Wilkinson. He used to be the classic case. He's got so many pro tour call-ups because he lived in Barnsley. So anytime anyone was needed, get Carl Wilkinson. He lives here. To the point where, if that was the case, all you'd do is live within a 1 mile radius of one of the Pro Tour venues and you'd always get call-ups.
Yeah,
so if you're number one on the challenge tour, number one, but you live in Germany, you are never going to get a tour call-up late, even though you're the top player.
Yeah, it's not fair.
So for that reason, and to think of the entire system and to give everybody opportunity, they have to do that. Now, the next question is, should they be prioritizing that or should they be prioritizing the 1-8? That's a debate for another day. But as for now, because of that challenge tour using it, they've got to move it around or else if they go, right, everything's in Wigan now, all 34 Pro Tours are in Wigan, first thing I'd do is move to Wigan.
Yeah, well, right. So you've talked about that very nicely. And here's my other issue. Why are all the majors in the UK? Why is the Match Play, World Championship, UK Open, Players Championship all in the UK? It's ridiculous. Name me another sport so dominated in that way. Tennis, it's all over the world. Golf, it's all over the world.
But darts is an infant, though, remember, in regards to...
It's the second most watched sport on Sky now after football. It's no longer an infant, Matt. It's a big, big sport. And I know we're talking to Saudi. There's a question about that in a bit. I don't think it's fair. If I lived outside the UK, if I was Dutch or German or any of the other big European countries that are doing well, I'm going to pause for a minute with the Canadians, Americans and Australians because they know they live a long way from anywhere. But it's not fair. It's not fair on them guys to have to travel every single week to the UK.
You've counter-argued me. I'm going to counter-argue you. This is what the good thing about podcast is. If I want to play in the Liga, should Aston Villa be able to play in it? Because it is fair.
No, that's a league, isn't it? That's a Spanish league.
Yeah, but this isn't the worldwide PDC. Like, it's just PDC.
Well, it is the worldwide PDC.
It's not a worldwide tour, though, is it? It's the professional darts tour.
Well, that's my issue, is that the tour should be worldwide now. It's not fair. It's too big a sport. The governing body, it's too big now to just be, oh, we'll play in this little country, the United Kingdom. Tiny.
So why can't
place.
Celtic play in the Premier League?
They do. They play in the Scottish Premier League.
Yeah, but why can't they? Because Cardiff are from Wales and they played in the English Premier League.
Yeah, so you're talking about leagues here. You're not
talking Cardiff
about
are Welsh.
Open competition.
Cardiff open are Welsh and played in the English Premier League. Why can't Celtic?
That's a very good question. And I'm not a football analyst, so I don't know the answer. It is a very good question. Why are Welsh teams allowed and Scottish teams aren't? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't even want to. I don't know. I don't know, Matt, but I do think now that it's time that some of these big events went outside the UK. That's just my thoughts on it. I'm not a fan, and that just sort of tipped me over the edge, Johnny, saying that it should all be in the UK. Oh yeah, lovely, because you live in the UK. Great, but you know, sod everybody else. The other 30%, 40% of the tour, people that live outside the UK.
I think the last I looked, the tour was 52% UK.
Is that all it is? Yeah. So it's 50-50. Wow.
Nearly 50-50 split, yeah.
Wow. So when people moan about expenses and fast food at night, guess what, mate? You're playing in your own country. Feel for the guys that aren't.
Right. I think Gerwin's probably talking, though, about when we are out of the country, because that's when it's the trickiest, because there's not always just eaters, things like that, you know?
No, I get that. I get that. Right, another Andy rant now, because he's when there's a major on, I get so much fuel for the next podcast.
When there's a major on, my phone pings all the time. Why is he wearing those trainers? What's he doing with those slides? Why has he done that? What an idiot. Why has he done that? Look at the state of his hair. Like, it's constant.
Flights isn't one I wrote down, but one that I thought about. Why is Danny Noppert still using kites? I'm not happy about it. Johnny Clayton, I get it. Johnny's darts land flat like yours. He needs a smaller flight. You need a smaller flight. Your darts land flat. Phil Taylor needed a smaller flight. Danny Noppert, sit up. You don't need kites, mate. It's ridiculous. Honestly,
he grips towards the front of the barrel, though, doesn't he?
I don't give a damn. He's given an advantage. He's taken away an advantage of using bigger flights. If I had him in the precision room, I'd sort him out. But he's not a mission player, so I won't, and I'll move on. But anyway,
you know what? I tell you what, we're 30 minutes in, and these news articles now that now watch us and click us. Hello, guys. We're giving you loads of stuff to work with this week. And
right.
We're dropping bombs.
Commentators again. I'm going to say in general, but I don't know who it was. I know it wasn't you because you weren't there. They are surprised. This was in the World Prix. Surprised that Bunting hasn't won more majors. And I'm sat there and I went, well, I'm not. I'm not surprised at all. And I love Stephen. And I used to practice with him years ago. And I've played with him a few times. But I'm not surprised. He's another Wes Newton. He stands in the wrong place, Matt. Sorry, but you're never going to be consistent standing 2 foot to the right of the hockey. You're not. You're a brilliant player, 1,000 times better than what I ever was. But you are not going to be as consistent as a Michael Van Gerwen, a Luke Littler, a Luke Humphries, who's standing in the middle. Both sides of the board are the same distance. Standing 2 foot to the right is ridiculous, and you're never going to win multiple majors. Sorry, but that's my rant about Stephen. And I know Wes listens to the podcast. Hi, Wes, another good pal of mine. who actually tried to move further left and it messed up his throw. But that's not the point. Stephen's never going to win multiple majors because of where he stands. He's going to have times when he's buzzing and he beats everybody, and he's going to have times when he's not quite on. So I don't agree with the commentators on that one either. Right.
By the way, I just want to say congratulations to Andy Cornwell, who has just today, with that last comment, because I can see the headline already, Andy, you're in the sun next week. Well done, mate. You make sure you buy the paper, get your missus, get your kids to go down and get it. Clip that one up, because you're in there next week, because right. They're all listening.
30 minutes in, Matt. I don't know whether this is true or not. Zach has put in the comments, to promote our podcast, you can swipe left on the comments and hit hype.
Oh, yes.
There's a do you hype. Know about this?
Yeah, YouTube hype. It's a new button.
Guys, please give it a go for us this week. He said apparently he'd done it. You can only do it once a day or once every... But apparently this is a new thing. You can hype a podcast, a video. So you swipe left on the comments and you hit the hype button. Give it a try, guys. We'd love to see if it works. Let us know.
Yeah, so there's a lot of new features coming to YouTube. I've been researching a lot this week. So there's some good stuff to tell you about when you've stopped being a wetty and playing the Amil card, trying to get some sympathy off your missus or something.
I'm feeling better talking to you.
Do you know what, right? Having headphones on, well, I keep burping. I've got to stop drinking this Iron Brew, being Scottish. Having headphones on. So there's something you can do in broadcasting, and you do it sometimes, but you don't on others. And it's where you pop your piece. So, you know, when you do that.
All right.
Because when you do that, it peaks your mic. When you pop piece, so it peaks your mic. Okay. So it's something you have to try and get out, and sort of elocution and all that sort of thing. So, but when I'm on
if
here...
You're teaching me elocution. It's time I hung up my headphones.
Don't know what you mean. but yeah, so I can hear it sometimes with the headphones on. Sometimes you pop the beat, and then other times you don't. It's right interesting. But yeah,
it's a very different
listen. Yeah. So yeah, something to keep an eye on. Yeah, I'll give you three lessons here.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks very much. Right, I've still got loads and right. I've got a question for you. So let's do that. It's time you. I've been talking a lot. I can feel my voice going a bit. Let's have a question for Matt from Daniel Tucker by email, which you can youtube@missiondarts.com. Send us an email. I think people would like to know what happens when the darts goes to Saudi. It would be good to know because the drinking culture is very different out there. It would be a good insight to find out, have they looked into this? Are people going to be able to go and drink? Are the players going to be able to drink? Because we all know that players and spectators like a drink. Obviously, they can't be wandering drunk in the street out there either. They end up locked up. So he just said, I'd like to get an insight. Now, I haven't got a clue, but you may be able to give us some insight. How far down the line are we with Saudi?
Okay. First of all, I am going to offer a nickname that I hope sticks for Daniel. And from now on, Daniel, you are known as The Shop. So, in answer to The Shop, so first of all, yep, just because the darts is rolling, see, I popped it then, you see that? Just because darts is rolling into town doesn't mean that laws will be changed. The laws will be as per normal. So there will be no changes. It's for everything else to make adaptions. Now, this is why I worry for darts going to Saudi, because I don't think it works. Darts is, let me get together with 8 of my mates. We're going to dress up like bananas. Someone's going to be Colonel Sanders. Then we'll have 10 chickens. We'll have a traffic cone. Bloke dressed like a woman. Bloke on a donkey with his legs either side. That's the darts. And we're going to go there. We're going to have a jug in each hand. Darts, when you go to watch it and you go as a fan, tends to have its own little bit of a drinking problem, which is I've got 2 hands and 1 mouth. And I need to somehow try and put that right, which doesn't always end well when you go to watch. Now, you can't have that. So I don't think it quite translates. I don't think it works out too well. So I think it'll go a few times and then maybe not. I think it could fall flat. I really do. I don't have high hopes for it, but what I do hope is that everyone involved, certainly that money filters down and everyone benefits from this in the way that they should do, because Dart's been going to Saudi is going there because of the efforts of everybody from top to bottom. So I just hope everyone benefits in some way from it. That's my main thing. But I don't think it's
a camel racing. We could get a few camels on Blackpool Beach. You me and you racing a camel down Blackpool Beach.
I'd rather me and you race down there with forfeits, because I'd smash you at that. That'd be something.
I don't fancy taking you on a run in. You're 19 years my junior, I think. No, not that many. I don't know how many it is anyway. He's also said, sad news, 25 Bull in Wales is closed.
What?
Yeah.
How's that closed?
P.S. 25 Bull in Wales has now closed down.
That was doing well.
No idea. If anybody can get in the comments and give us a little bit more about that, that's first I've heard. But
I mean, it was a good location.
Yeah.
No, that was it, wasn't it? It wasn't a good location, was it? It was in the industrial.
Well, it wasn't. You could park and everything, but it was kind of in the middle of nowhere.
You've got to drive there, haven't you? That's the thing.
Yeah, but that's Wales. You've got to drive everywhere, unless you live in Cardiff.
That's a shame, because he just invested in upgrading it all as well, didn't he?
Looked really good.
Do you know what, though? Do you know what? Sometimes you go to a venue and you can see some issues. And for me, the big issue was he was never able to expand and have tournaments or big events or anything, because he only had that one toilet. That was something we said was a big put off, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because if you've got 80 people in there, one toilet and 80 people in there, I'll have a few jars. You know what it's like once you broke the seal. You've got to go every 10 minutes.
Same issue at, wasn't it Mansfield? The shop with the darts around the back.
They want to as well, yeah. They've just updated as well. I saw on their Facebook.
Yeah, they have. They've upgraded. It looks fantastic, but I don't know if they've put any more toilets in.
Do you know what this calls for? We're going to have to, once we finish Rate My Hockey Series 5, we're going to have to do a revisit.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I know Leicester, episode 1, the first ever Rate My Hockey, they've upgraded everything.
Wow. We've had a lot of feedback. People have been going to Bowlers in Blackpool and Red Rose Bowl and places
Leicester
that we've
as
been.
Well. The one we went to last, Colville, Leicester, they've upgraded as well. Yeah. They've done it all up. So I think it'd be nice to go back. Although we have seen a video on Rate My Throw from Hustlers, that's got worse. And that was the worst Rate My Hockey ever.
Yes,
that is even less carpet
there. I don't think we'll be going back there. Adam's been on with a quick question. Matt and Andy, what's the first set of darts you owned? I know what mine is, if you want to have a think. Mine was a set of Razor Edge in 25 gram. Silver natural tungsten Razor Edge. Just a straight barrel with a really grippy. I had a nine dart with them as well.
I think mine was a set of Dennis Priestley's.
Oh, now that surprises me for you.
Yeah.
Dennis Priestley. Yeah, he's a Yorkshire boy. He's tight like you. Probably what attracted you to them. You thought these would be good value. You never get a steak out of Dennis. One more question.
That reminds me of a story.
Oh, go on. Oh, here we go.
About a player not to be named. So, you know, back in the day, players used to like a drink, didn't they, and everything when they're playing. And a lot of venues didn't like you taking your own in. They used to like you to. So, said unnamed player, he used to put little mini drinks, like, you know, like a little tiny bottle of vodka, a little bottle of brandy, you know, like, so he could put it into his Coke, right? And when he used to go into venues, they'd always check your bags, but they used to bypass certain things like waters, Cokes, you know, like the usual sort of things, and any food or anything you brought in. This player used to buy bread rolls, put the mini drink in the bread roll, and then wrap it in tinfoil. And he used to be like, oh, they're my sandwiches. And he'd get it over the bread roll. So the lengths people go to save a few quid, eh?
I know a very famous player that used to empty a bottle of water and fill it with vodka. I'm not going to say who that is either, but you'll probably know who that is. And also somebody that used to bring in a 2-litre bottle of Fanta. Yeah. Funny, he was really thirsty. You know, he really liked orange. Yeah. We've seen it all, haven't we? We've seen it all.
I could go on about stories like that forever.
Yeah. I mean, you or I were a two pints man, weren't we? So it didn't really affect us. We didn't really need to get smashed up or praying before we started playing, but a couple of pints would do me. Yeah. So
speaking about playing, this goes out Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And then you won't hear from me again until this after Modus, yeah?
Yeah, Modus week.
And I'll tell you what, I've actually managed to put a bit of practice in. And I'm going to take a moment to talk about Modus, actually.
Okay.
So I put a bit of practice in. It goes all right. The longer I practice, the worse I get. So that's not a good sign, considering it's a marathon challenge.
Yeah.
Tough group. They've moved Fallon Sherrick into my group. She weren't originally there. She's now been moved in. So I think that's going to make an interesting game.
Yeah.
But genuinely, I'm actually edgy about it. And do you know what?
Edgy Edgar.
Yeah, and I don't normally get edgy, but I think it's because I've not played for so long. And I think nerves come when you're not certain of something, don't they? If you're not sure about something, you get nervous. And because I'm not sure about how I'm going to play, what it's going to be like, how I'm going to manage it, like, because I've not played for so long and I've not practiced, it's like, well, who knows what it's going to be like. And I tell you what, I sort of feel like every emotion going. And genuinely, if I hadn't already told everyone I was doing this and it hadn't been announced and stuff, I reckon I'd have found an excuse to pull out.
I did think that at the time when you signed up for it. It sounds great, doesn't it, when it's 6 months away?
Yeah.
When it's a week away, you're like, oh, it's really happening. Shit.
I would have, if it hadn't been announced and I've filmed promos and I haven't been announcing it on air for a while. By the way, there's people booked tickets for the Saturday. I'll hopefully get there, guys. Just because I feel like this doesn't mean I'm not going to go do well. If anything,
if you're not, they can go and watch Fallon.
Yeah, go watch Fallon. It'd be great. I actually reckon the fact I'm feeling like this, on the flip side of things, if someone was talking to me like this, I'd say it's a strength. Because one thing that's going to happen is I'm going to get adrenaline and I care and all these. So there's going to be so much that happens, but I just really, I'm going to play with the slim flights. That's my plan.
The ones that you've had in? The
ones of the Wing Slim.
Wing Slim, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with those. That's the plan.
Yeah.
But when I practiced on that stage, I didn't like the way they flew. They sort of went in, but you loved it. Like, you were like, they're landing perfect. That's how you wanted to be.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the way it was on my eye. So my plan is, though, to play with those.
Don't look at them.
Those. Yeah.
Just throw them without looking.
Just taking some bread rolls. Like,
yeah. You'll be fine. Mate.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Good and I'm sure you're dying to see it. And hopefully, 100%. I'll see lots of you down there on Saturday night if I get through. We'll hopefully fill the place. Half the tickets already sold. So please do. If you're planning on coming down, hopefully see you there next Saturday.
And, the biggest event on Pluto's ever seen, I think, next week.
Yeah, be good.
Yeah, be good. Dave's been on. I don't know if that's his real name. Because
not Orange Squash Dave, is it?
Yeah, Dave's been on. And he's asked this question. He's turned up for a local game, and it's clear the board is like 6 inches too low. So he's asked the question, is it ever acceptable to refuse to play if the board is clearly 6 inches too high or 6 inches too low? Yeah. At what point can you say, no, I'm not playing on that?
Yeah,
I don't know the answer to the question, really.
Well, when you sign up to a league, there will be a set of rules. Those rules will say dartboard, then these are your measurements. If the measurements are that far off that it affects performance, absolutely you should refuse to play and claim the match because the facilities that have been provided aren't up to scratch.
Yeah.
If you go to a boxing match and the ring's 1 foot by 1 foot and you're just going to go toe to toe, but actually your main attribute is the fact you can move around and you can create space and openings and pick things off, then you can't do what you were supposed to do. So yeah, absolutely. Imagine you're a tops man and the board's 6 inches high. You're not going to be able to throw the same.
Just the same as our footwear video that's on the main YouTube channel, which explains that, doesn't it? It does. Right. 44 minutes in, we've got something serious. something serious to talk about that people don't know about, really. And that is that the recent Mike the Decadots, the limited editions that came out, every set sold, I think it was within 23 minutes or something. There were 501 sets. And what people don't know is that £5 from every sale went to a charity, which is the Ethan King Fund, a children's bone cancer charity. You can Google Ethan King Fund if you want to donate to it. Ethan was a massive Mission fan, big fan of Mike the Decker. His dad, Jim, will be listening to this podcast as it goes out. He's a regular. And I said, I'd definitely give you a mention because £2,500 from those Mike the Decker limited edition darts, Mike chose it as his chosen charity. And £2,500 has been donated to the Ethan King Fund for the Children's Bone Cancer Charity. Apparently a very rare form of cancer. And sadly, Ethan is no longer with us. So love to his family, obviously. He died at 15 years old. And that makes me really sad having a child similar age. But I wanted to get that out on the podcast that the £2,500 has been raised and sent. And a hello to Jim. And I hope he keeps listening to the podcast. So something that some good that's come out of darts there.
And let's really, not really... also miss the great point as well about the inclusiveness of this sport. Just also summarize there, because struggle to keep up with his activities, football, swimming, different sort of activities, and turn to darts. And darts there at home to be able to get up and do whenever you're. And we get this through, you know, we've now got disability leagues, haven't we, within the WDF system. We've got male leagues, female leagues, youth, elderly, over 50s, over 65s. You know, there's so much. It just shows the accessibility of the sport and how many other stories are out there where people are turning to darts now as an opportunity.
A lot of people turn into online darts, Matt. That perhaps not, you know, they've never been a let's go to a pub kind of person, but they've found darts, they've found online scoring systems at home, and you know, they've got into darts that way as well. So really, really good.
I've got one for you then. So we've spoke about Bo Greaves and all the different other bits. Luke Littler went to the World Youth Championship one day after winning the World Grand Prix, dominated it. What's your opinion? I've got mine.
What do ridiculous. You think? Absolutely ridiculous. It was a bit like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Everything is about me. I didn't like it one little bit. Somebody should have got hold of him and said, you're doing the wrong thing here, Luke. You're taking away somebody else's chance. You should not be playing in the youth anymore when you're world champion. Simple as that. Yeah, I mean, I could go on about it for the next hour. I'm not a fan.
Totally okay, so I'm the fan. Opposite. I'm the opposite. And I did a video on this, got a lot of views, and a lot of the comments in the comments section were saying, I was the opposite, but you've changed my mind. Allow me 3 to 4 minutes of your time to see if
change my mind.
Okay. So, Luke Littler, first of all, is of age to play in the Youth World Championship, so why not? Next thing. Luke Littler added credibility to the event. Bo Greaves versus Jan van Veen is now the final of that event. If that game was promoted as, here's the final, Jan van Veen versus Bo Greaves, you know for a fact the comment section would be, it doesn't matter, they're only there because Luke Littler wasn't. And that would be full of that. It doesn't matter who wins it, they're not the best youth player. Luke Littler's the best youth player. So it doesn't matter. So by Luke Littler being in the event, it's made that game more marquee. It's made it better because Luke Littler was in the event and he didn't make the final. It answered the question.
Still doesn't matter who wins. He's still the best player.
Yes, but it answered the question. Luke Littler was in the event. He did not win the event. It's between one of those two. Same as the seniors. When Ross Montgomery's walking around going, I'm the seniors world champion. I'm the best player over 50. Was he, when you've got Gary Anderson still active, when you've got Peter Wright, you've got these players that are over 50 still playing regularly. So what you're saying is actually, yes, you are the best player over 50 who doesn't or who is eligible for that system. So it's the same thing with Luke Littler in there. It added media attention. This was on Sky Sports News, and every media outlet picked up on this story and added name value then to Beau Greaves and to Hien Van Veen. So they all got picked up from it. So everything is boosted by Luke Littler being in there, and that final now means so much more because he was in there. And not only that, from a selfish point of view for Luke, Luke could have broke history. When would we ever have a seven-time youth world champion? When have we ever had the youth world champion be the same as the main world champion? He could have made some serious, serious history there in regards to unbreakable records. So I think there was a lot of really good reasons for him to be there. I think it added to the event the fact he was there. Has he been there? Would we even spoke about the youth world championships? Would it have made all the articles it has? No. So I think Luke Littler added to it. It didn't take anything away. I think he made that event.
Tennis, Wimbledon. You can either play in junior Wimbledon or senior Wimbledon. You have to choose. You can't play in both.
We can't compare sports all day long, especially when they're on the same week.
You've had 4 minutes and you've not convinced me. I don't like it. I think he went to show off. I was glad he got beat.
Beau Greaves wins a Youth World Championship, though, without beating Littler on the way. Do you think that title would have been discredited straight away within the eyes of...
Not in my eyes, but yes, you're always going to get people say he wasn't there.
And now she's done that. If Beau Greaves wins that, does that add credibility to her title?
No, because is she the best youth player in the world? No. Is she the best youth player in the world? No. Luke Littler is.
She'd be the world champion.
Got beat. Yes, she will. It doesn't matter. Does not matter. All she's done is beat him in a 6-5 game. That's it. She's not proved. You know, if Luke Littler played the development tour next year, who would top the development tour? Luke Littler. It's as simple as
Blackpool won the FA Cup.
God. They have. In 1962, somebody help me out, 3 or something.
Okay, but if Blackpool win the FA Cup in 2026, right?
Yep.
But they say no Premier League teams are entering. Does that FA Cup mean as much as if they beat Man City in the semi-final, Chelsea in the final? No, of course it doesn't.
You need the big teams in there to make the
title count. And he made that title count. If Beau Greaves wins this, Beau Greaves should be thanking Luke Littler because she's made that title is so much more relevant. The fact that she's beat Luke Littler and Hien Van Veen.
She won't win it. Hien will beat her.
I suppose
we could sort of say the same thing. Isn't Hien in the top 16 in the world? What's he doing playing in it?
Didn't Josh Rock go as well? Did Josh Rock go?
Did he? Sure.
I can't remember who else. Someone else went. I should know this. But there's quite a lot of them that went. I'll see if I can pull it up while we're doing this.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm one of these. I think if you swap to the main tour, if you're a main tour pro tour player, you give up your rights to play on the development tour.
No, there you go. You've just said it. This is not the development tour championship. This is not the development tour end of season knockout. This is the world championships. It's different to the development tour. If you were talking development tour, I agree 100%. But we're not. It's not the development tour finals.
No, it's not.
It's not the development tour finals. It's the world championships.
You've frozen about 3 or 4 times today, Matt. You know, we might need to have a look at that afterwards. I don't know if it's me or you.
It's not on my screen.
It'd be interesting if it is on the playback. But anyway,
this isn't the development tour.
But
this
it's not
is
an
the
open.
World championship.
Is it an open then?
The world championship. You can get into it from many different systems. The development tour, qualifiers, different world tour systems.
So it's not open.
If you're in the top 64, you have to qualify.
16-year-old lad from the pub down the road can't enter it.
He can qualify for it.
Right. Through one of the tours.
Name one world championship anyone can enter without qualifying for. You have to qualify for every world championship. This is the pinnacle of youth sport. This is the world track. This is not. This is where people are getting it wrong. This is not the development tour finals. This is the world championship. Just because the development tour is used as one of the qualifying criterias, it's not like the players' championship finals at Minehead. It's not the finals of the development tour. It's the world championship. It's different.
How many?
And that's where people are getting it wrong.
How many were allowed in it? Is it limited to like 128 or 256? Well,
there was a round of 128 knockout, and there was a group stage as well.
Okay.
I've also seen this guy called Ben Eddy.
I don't know enough about. Yes, I saw that name actually. I don't know.
Cam Crabtree played. Cam Crabtree was in it.
Yes. Well, again,
Keane Barry.
Cam's a mission player.
Erin Bates was in it.
And has had a phenomenal year on the tour.
Obviously. Yeah, but that's the main thing. Remember that this is not the development tour finals.
Yeah.
If you get that in your mind, surely that changes your opinion.
Please get in the comments. Get in the comments and let us know. Should Luke Littler have played in the World Youth Championship this year? Yes or no?
World Youth Championship, not development tour finals. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Right, Matt. I want to have a topical rant about equipment. Now, you know I love my equipment. If there's one thing I want to talk about, is equipment. And something's happened this week that's made my head explode even more than normal. So you may or may not, I know you don't follow, you follow more the commentary and the stats side, and I follow more the equipment side, and that's why this works. Harrows have brought out a changeable point that screws in. And guess what? It's only usable on Harrow's darts. So now we have a target point that's only usable on Target's darts. We now have a Harrow's point that's only interchangeable on Harrow's darts. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. And you'll probably be screaming at me now, oh, hang on a minute, haven't you got one? Well, Mission, in conjunction with Caliburn, did a removable screw-in point system called Evo, which is to be used with any dart that has a standard point in it. Not a Mission dart, not a Caliburn dart, any dart. And that's how it should be. And you know what? I started getting analogies in my head. This is almost like you go and buy a Ford Fiesta and they go, oh, by the way, mate, if you need new tires, you can only get them from us. You can't get them from anywhere else if you need it, because they're Ford tires. You go buy your Levi jeans and you get a belt. Oh, just to show, no, mate, that belt only fits Levi jeans. If you've got a pair of Boss jeans at home, that belt won't fit. It's absolutely ridiculous that they're bringing out a point that only works with their darts. What are they trying to do? Are they trying to say, oh, you stay a customer of ours forever because you use our point system, therefore you can't ever use any other darts? Is that what it's all about? I don't know what it's all about, but I think it's absolutely crazy that manufacturers are now coming out with point systems that you can only use with their darts. It's absolute nonsense. And while I'm on with the fact that it's nonsense, it's so that we can all screw in these 44 millimeter points that are about this long. Absolutely ridiculous. And the next time somebody says to me, oh, this dartboard's too hard, mate, my darts won't stick in it. No, mate, your points are too bloody long. That's why your darts keep falling out. Because think about it. The longer you make your dart, the difference the balance point is, the less amount of point that's going into the board, the dart is more likely to drop out. Guess what? Go back to the 1990s, start watching some darts that's on YouTube, and you won't see a single dart drop out of the board. You might see it bounce off the wire, which was because the wires were thicker. You will not see a dart go in and fall out. And I'm seeing it all the time now. And all I hear is, oh, the boards are too hard. They're not too hard. Your bloody points are too long. Go back to using standard points. Guess what? The best player that's ever played this game used standard points, and he did all right. So it's an absolute nonsense. And manufacturers making a part of a dart that only works with their barrels is crap. Rant over.
Well, what a great place that would be to conclude episode 63, not episode 62. We could carry on going today for much more time, but maybe we'll have to do a special because there's too many topics to talk about in darts at the moment. But let us know what you think in the comment section. We'll see you back again next week for the Mission Darts Podcast.